call to order the November 30th meeting of the Sussex County Council, but I'll be turning the meeting over to Councilman Vincent. There are a number of items on the agenda I'd like to participate in today.
Okay. First thing, approval agenda, Mr. Baker.
Yes, thank you. I have a suggested change, or several suggested changes. First, under executive session, we do not have any items under land acquisition. We're pending litigation at this time. We do have, you know, several items under personnel.
Okay.
And also, I would like to suggest that we consider changing the order of our agenda items. The first item, Miss Delaware 2010, I'd like to move that to say this, the first item under myself the second time around there. So NRG basically would be the first item.
Sure. Anything else?
No, that's it.
Well, entertain a motion.
So moved.
Second.
Second. Call for the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
I vote yes. Adopt the agenda as amended. Approval minutes of 11-9 were in their vice packet. Am I having any changes to it or questions about it? Hearing none, we'll approve those. Correspondence, Mr. Attorney.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Vincent. The first letter is from Seaford Volunteer Fire Department, Inc., to the Sussex County Council. On behalf of the officers and members of Seaford Volunteer Fire Department, Inc., we would like to take this opportunity to thank the Sussex County Council for everything you do to help make the fire service in Sussex County successful and professional. It was a very generous offering when you offered to help our Wake Up Delaware smoke detector program when the federal grant dried up. This will continue to help those who are in need of smoke detectors in an effort to save lives and property. This is a very special program to us, and we hope in some way it has over the years helped to save precious lives. It was also very special to have council return the 8% that budget cuts took from the fire service grants. It shows that council is working for us, and for that we are forever grateful. A close relationship has always been dominant between the council and the fire service in Sussex County, and we are certainly grateful for that. Again, our most sincere thanks for the everyday professional work the Sussex County Council provides us with. Signed, R. Wayne Truitt, President, and Mark O'Beer, Chief. Second letter is from the Sussex Pregnancy Care Center to Mr. Baker and council members. Thank you for the grant awarded by the County Council from the Human Services Grants Program for our abstinence program called Waiting the Smart Choice. With your generous assistance, we were able to reach the youth of Sussex County with healthy lifestyle information to help guard their future. Learning to make good decisions by using a drama format has proven an excellent way to convey the clear wisdom teens need during the often perplexing time of their formative years. Thank you for your vital support. We're extremely pleased to be part of a positive solution for adolescents and consider it a privilege to be working together for the good of this community. Rita C. Denny, Executive Director. And that's all the correspondence.
Other council members, anything?
I have something.
Mr. Deaver?
Yeah, if you bear with me, it's a little bit lengthy. It's from Gerald A. Lecklider, Colonel, U.S. Army, retired. Dear Council Member Deaver, I live in Lewis, about 2,000 feet from the university's wind turbine. I'm concerned about the setback from residences proposed in the new county code section dealing with wind turbines, which I read about in the Cape Gazette. I believe it is insufficient to protect residents from the ill effects of large commercial wind turbines, such as the one in Lewis. Residents here have done extensive research on the issue, and I would like to submit documents to be considered by the council in its deliberations. For example, H-677 before the Vermont legislature is a model bill for wind turbines based on extensive research. It establishes a setback of 1.25 miles from all occupied buildings. That is generally agreed to be a safe distance and supported by other documents by experts. There is an expert witness study submitted to the Wisconsin Public Service Commission by an epidemiologist, an expert in scientific epidemiology, that clearly states scientific evidence supports the conclusion that anywhere from 10 to 20% of those living near a large wind turbine will suffer from certain ailments. I'd like to forward these documents to you to be considered by the council in its deliberations on the issues. And if my request is not proper method for having them entered into the record, please advise me of how I might enter them. I do have that bill, and I would like to present it on his behalf into the record.
Sure. That'd be fine. Thank you. Anything else? Anybody else? We're going to skip that. Mrs. Webb.
Thank you. Good morning. Today I have a proposed resolution to issue recovery zone facility bonds for Indian River Power. I'm going to give you just a brief recap on the recovery zone facility bond program first. If you remember, in July 2009, we discussed these bonds as part of the federal stimulus plan of the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act, and the county received an allocation for these types of bonds. We designed our recovery zone where these bonds could be used, and what this program does is allows private business tax-exempt conduit financing, very similar to the industrial revenue bonds, with a broader reach in terms of projects that qualify, with the idea being to encourage economic development. The county is in no way liable for payment of these bonds, nor is any of our credit pledged for these bonds. On November 15th, the Industrial Revenue Bond Committee heard an application from Indian River Power, LLC, who would like to finance the project through the recovery zone facility bonds offered by the county, their allocation. The project is an air quality improvement project, which we'll hear more about later. There was a public hearing at this time during that Industrial Revenue Bond meeting with no public comment. In your council packet, you received the application, the minutes, and the resolution that's being proposed today from that meeting. Today, Mr. Arabia and Mr. Patel, representing Indian River Power, will give a short presentation on the project. Our bond attorney, Ballard Spahr, has determined that this is an eligible project and meets all of the recovery zone facility bond criteria. And if you recall, we had another one like this earlier in the year, Five Points Crossing, which proposed to do a Walgreens in Lewis. However, they have withdrawn their application due to lack of finding financing, so our whole volume cap is still available. I do want to mention that this project is a little different because the recovery zone facility bonds are sort of like a limited time offer by the U.S. Treasury. The bonds must be closed by December 31st, 2010, and this allocation to be used. The applicant has requested and received unused allocation from both Newcastle and Kent County. Newcastle's allocation is $12,215,000. Kent's allocation is $20 million. Of course, our allocation that we got was $24,967,000. So in total issuance is $57,182,000. I did want to note the committee did make a motion to recommend approval to the council for this project, subject to the volume cap available, which at that time they were still getting the unused volume cap, seeing at these counties what was used up in their own projects, and now we know that for sure. So, Mr. Arabia and Mr. Patel, if you want to tell us about your project.
Thank you.
Morning.
Good morning. Members of the council, my name is Steve Arabia. I'm a senior manager of external affairs for NRG, the owners of the Indian River power plant. With me is my colleague, Rashad Patel. He's the asset manager for assets in the PJM region. Thank you very much for your consideration of this resolution of the recovery zone facility bonds for our Indian River air quality improvement project. I'll just take a minute, if I can, to briefly describe NRG, the Indian River power plant, and our project, and what the benefits are for that project. NRG is a Fortune 500 company. We own and operate a variety of electrical generation facilities throughout the U.S. That includes nuclear, solar, biomass, wind, of course, coal, primarily in four geographic areas: the Northeast, which we consider Delaware in our Northeast region, South Central, Texas, and then California. In addition to our wholesale power business, We also have two retail electric companies, one specializing in green power, which is a recent acquisition of ours we're very excited about. And as I'm sure you know, last year, like in November of last year, we acquired Blue Water Wind. And so now it's NRG Blue Water Wind, and we're working very aggressively to develop the offshore wind project off the coast of Rehoboth. And of course, in Delaware, we own and operate the Indian River Power Plant in Dagsboro, as well as a much smaller plant in Dover. The project for which we're seeking these recovery zone bonds involves installation of very significant new air quality improvement technologies and control systems on Unit 4 at the Indian River Generating Station. That unit's about 420 megawatts. It's the largest and newest and most efficient of the three remaining coal units at that facility, and is the only unit that will remain in operation after 2013 under an agreement we have with DENREC. When the air quality improvement project for Unit 4 is complete, the plant will have among the lowest emissions rates of any coal generation station in the country. The $366 million project will reduce emissions below both federal and the more strict Delaware standards. And the project consists primarily of the installation of three specific types of technologies. The one is called a selective catalytic reduction technology, or SCR. Its job is to remove nitrogen oxides from the emissions. That's a very significant piece of equipment. The next one is what we typically refer to as a scrubber. The more official title is a circulating dry scrubbing technology system. That's essentially a scrubber, and that takes out sulfur dioxide from the emissions. And finally, on to control mercury, even further, the scrubber takes on some mercury as well, but control mercury even further, we're installing essentially fabric filters is kind of the layperson's way to look at it, but it's sort of the standard way to remove mercury from the emissions. So those are the three primary components of very significant, as I said, about $360 million in new investment in air quality improvements at this plant. Well, in addition to the air quality improvements, we also have an economic impact, positive economic impact from this project. We expect to create some 400 to 500 construction jobs during the construction. Right now, there's about 300 folks, labor folks, on the ground working there today as we speak. These jobs are primarily union labor jobs, boilermakers, iron workers, pipe fitters, operating engineers, electricians, and laborers, and also the supervisory and administrative support staff to support those positions. As I said today, there are about 300 contract workers on site employed there, in addition to the more than 150 permanent, NRG employees that work there now to run and operate the power plant. And importantly, because under our agreement with DENREC, Unit 4 cannot operate beyond 2012 without the new environmental controls, the project enables us to maintain the jobs needed to continue to operate and maintain that plant going forward. In other words, we're both creating new construction jobs and retaining existing pretty good-paying power plant jobs. And before I conclude, I just want to say a note of appreciation to David Baker and Susie Webb and to Julie Wheatley for their work with us both in the Sussex County process as well as helping us work through sort of the aggregation of the reallocation, I should say, of unused recovery zone bonds from the other counties. It was very important for us to be able to do that, to get to an amount that makes sense for us to finance. We believe we've achieved that. We're very thankful to the work that those three folks have done with us. So with that, I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions from council?
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Well, I will say, make one comment here. I thought I had to get up and leave. You're talking about you're going to have lesser pollution. Well, if you keep shutting the generators down, you're going to have lesser pollution, all right? That's pretty obvious. Isn't that what you said, in essence?
Well, if you're not running the power plant, then you're not creating any emissions, that's for sure.
That's the way I saw it.
Yeah.
Or that's the way I see it anyway. Yeah. So what are we going to use for an alternate?
Well, I think if your question's about electric reliability, I get a sense that's what your question's about.
Sure.
Well, we're in the power generation business, so there are other entities whose job it is to ensure that there's sufficient power on the grid, and they do it through a number of ways, through conservation through new power generation, and through transmission coming in from other places, typically out of state. And the organization that does all that planning is called the PJM Interconnection out of Valley Forge. They do it for the whole Mid-Atlantic region, even beyond that. And their analysis is that with the shutdown of, we already shut down Unit 2 this May, Unit 1 will be shut down next May, and then Unit 3 will be shut down by 2013, if I get that correct. And PJM has indicated that that should not be a problem for the electric grid, the shutdown of those two units. You know, the remaining unit, Unit 4, makes up more than half of the generating capacity of the entire unit. So still a very significant power generation capability at the station.
They're going to be using a lot less coal now, right? In a couple years from now.
We'll be certainly be using less coal.
Yeah, well, that's naturally going to make it cleaner. Naturally, it's going to eventually take jobs out of Indian River and take them to where we're getting our electricity from. So, yeah. I don't know. That's the way I see it anyway. I'm not sure that, well, okay, just my comments.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I did have one other comment. There are no other applicants right now in the pipeline, and there is a December 31st 10 deadline for these allocation credits. And I don't know if, Mr. Baker, you wanted to say anything regarding the project before I read I have an intent resolution I need to read.
I think it's been covered.
Okay. Read the resolution.
Yes, ma'am.
Sussex County Council authorizes a project resolution authorizing issuance of up to $75 million of recovery zone facility bonds for the Indian River Power LLC project, Series 2010.
Quick question. One of these other counties could come back in and ask, or does it?
They've already, by resolution at their council, given the credit back to the state. The state has, by executive order, reissued the allocation to our county. So we're issuing the whole allocation
gotcha. To
Indian River Power.
Okay. Heard a resolution. Have a motion.
Second.
A motion.
Oh,
Mr. Cole.
I'm sorry.
Second.
Oh, well, second.
Ms. Deaver.
Mm-hmm.
Any question on a motion? Not. We'll take a vote. Ms. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Not voting.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Phillips.
Not voting.
I'll vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you.
Mr. Baker.
The first item I have, we have the privilege and the honor to have with us today Ms. Kayla Martell, if she would like to come up. Ms. Martell is from Sussex County, and we expect to be our next Miss America.
There you go. Good.
She is currently the reigning Miss Delaware, and she has quite a long list of accomplishments, and we have a tribute here also to read, but I'll turn it over to Ms. Martell. Maybe she can explain
about my project.
Sure.
Well, I was crowned Miss Delaware June 12th of this year at Dover Downs, and I was the first Miss Delaware to be crowned in the past 6 years from Sussex County, which is very exciting. It's been quite some time since we've had someone from Lower Delaware. Basically, what I do every day is I travel the state visiting hospitals, schools, youth groups, nonprofit organizations, just volunteering in any way that I can. And it's a full-time job. I take a year off of school and work to be able to fulfill my duties and serve my state as best I can, which I'm sure you can relate to. And I'll be competing for Miss America in less than 6 weeks. So the past few weeks have just been full of preparations. Thanksgiving Day, I still had my pumpkin pie, but every other day I've been preparing for every phase of competition by working out, preparing for interview, rehearsing my talent. I'm a dancer, so rehearsing the choreography that's been prepared for me, and just making sure that I'm well aware of all of the political issues that are surrounding us today.
Well, Sam Wilson will be a good source for political issues if you have any questions.
And I would much appreciate that.
All right, Sam?
I would be glad to give you any consultation if I could.
I knew it.
I would love that. I had a mock interview last night, and they were just asking me so many questions about
and
offshore drilling.
Be
what do you say? I'm
and
sorry.
Private time would be better.
Let's move right along with that.
Farming. Okay, well, I'll remember that. But basically, you'll have to tune in to Miss America. January 15th will be on ABC and hope that we finally have our first Miss Delaware crowned as Miss America in 90 years. We've never had a Miss America or Miss Delaware make it past the top 15 cut. So we've got to break the curse of 90 years. So hopefully this will be the year.
We're very proud of you. Congratulations. Thank you
so much. I see you also are going to be a spokesperson for a rare condition. Can you tell us about that?
Absolutely. I was diagnosed with alopecia areata when I was 10 years old. My hair started falling out in clumps, and it took over 2 years, actually, for me to be diagnosed fully. I was tested for everything that they could prick me for and find lab tests for, basically. But what I have is alopecia areata, which just means unexplainable hair loss. It's an autoimmune condition where your body attacks itself. Usually it leads to other conditions, but in my case, it's not really led to anything beyond that. Over 5 million people in America have alopecia areata, so you probably know somebody else who has this, and you just don't know it. Most of the people wear hair prostheses or a wig, and they just cover it up like that, or with ball caps, scarves. It just depends. Most people assume when they meet someone and they've lost their hair that they're going through chemotherapy. And so my job as one of their national liaisons is to promote awareness for it, because since it is not a terminal condition, I try not to ask too many people to donate to the cause, because there's no need to put money into a cause that we already understand, as opposed to something where we're trying to find a cure for cancer. So my main job is to just promote awareness and open people's eyes to understand that when you see a woman who's lost her hair, the only reason isn't because she's going through chemotherapy. There might be other things going on. Alopecia areata, another autoimmune condition, even lupus causes hair loss. So there are many different reasons that a woman could lose her hair. And my second part of my job as one of their spokespersons for the nation is just to provide support for other young women and young men who have lost their hair and may not know who to turn to or who to be able to relate to, because it's not often that you meet somebody else who's lost their hair. And when I was first diagnosed, I had never met anyone other than my grandfather who was losing his hair. And so obviously his condition could not relate to mine. He sure tried his best, but it's not quite the same. And so it was 10 years later when I turned 20 that I finally met someone who also had alopecia areata. And that's the same year that I joined the foundation, which is my platform, the National Alopecia Areata Foundation. And the fundraisers that I've been involved with, we've raised over $100,000 for the cause and for research, so that we've been able to finally figure out genetically what causes alopecia areata, and most people are born with it. So finally we can figure out what the trigger is, but from here I'm not sure what's next, if there will be able to find a cure or find a treatment. But as of now, there are no treatments, no cures, and when you lose your hair, your only option is to either cover it up or live with it as it is.
Oh, very, very good. Thank you. We have a resolution.
Yes, we thank you very much for attending today. And we do have a proclamation, which does note some of your many achievements. To honor Miss Delaware 2010, Kayla Martell, whereas the Sussex County Council wishes to recognize Sussex County residents for their outstanding accomplishments and contributions to the community. And whereas Kayla Martell is a native of Milford, Delaware in Sussex County, and whereas Kayla Martell was crowned this year as Miss Delaware 2010, capturing statewide national attention because of her personal experiences with a rare condition known as alopecia areata, and whereas Kayla Martell is using the opportunity as Miss Delaware to serve as a national spokeswoman to educate the public about alopecia areata, a condition in which partial or total hair loss occurs in both men and women, and whereas Kayla Martell is a motivated and dynamic young woman who has founded or been associated with numerous causes, including CAPS for YAPs, Pledge, People Learning to Eliminate Drugs by Gaining Education, the Youth Advisory Council for the Prevention of Tobacco and Other Drugs, and Delaware Special Olympics. And whereas Kayla Martell has been named this year as one of the 10 outstanding young Americans by the United States JCs, and whereas Kayla Martell intends to pursue a career as a motivational speaker, and whereas Kayla Martell has demonstrated that true beauty lies within all of us, and whereas Kayla Martell embodies a message of strength and perseverance and should serve as a role model for young people everywhere, Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Sussex County Council commends Kayla Martell on her accomplishments and proclaims Tuesday, November 30th as a day for all Sussex County residents to honor her as she prepares to represent the first state in the Miss America competition in January.
Thank you so much.
President Phillips has a proclamation to present to you. We'll get some pictures.
They sent me because I'll make you.
Oh, gosh. As long as you're not too much taller than me, that's what I always do.
That's why I kept George up here.
Or you didn't do it yourself.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
You sacrificed.
I did. Took one for the team.
And I was too old.
Yeah.
Too old. That's true. And dangerous.
It could be true.
You don't want to give her a cold.
That would be wonderful.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Congratulations.
Good luck to you.
Good luck to you.
Yeah. I'm from this area.
Oh, no.
I was trying to find parking, and that took a long time.
We understand that. Thank you very much.
Bye.
Good luck to you.
Next item is fuel tax resolution. And as there are currently proposals being discussed by Congress to increase the federal gasoline tax by up to 25 cents per gallon. And as suggested last week by President Phillips, we have a proposed resolution for your consideration opposing an increase in the fuel tax. The draft resolution notes the negative impact on Sussex residents of such a proposal. And if you'd like, I'll go ahead and read it.
Please do, yes.
Okay. A resolution expressing Sussex County Council's concern that a proposed increase in the federal fuel tax will be harmful to the citizens of Sussex County, Delaware, and the county's overall economic health. Whereas there is a proposal to increase by 25 cents the federal fuel tax at a time when gasoline prices are nearing $3 a gallon, and whereas a fuel tax increase at 25 cents a gallon would cost the average Sussex County household more than $700 annually, and whereas the high number of Sussex County residents are already unemployed, or a high number of Sussex County residents are already unemployed or unable to find full-time work, while a national unemployment rate is at the highest sustained rate since the Great Depression, and whereas a gasoline tax is particularly burdensome to lower and lower middle-income citizens in non-urban areas where there are few public transportation options available, and whereas the county's agriculture industry is adversely affected by higher fuel prices in all aspects from production to transportation of goods, and whereas the county's tourism industry relies heavily on regional visitors whose discretionary spending could be curtailed by a significant rise in fuel prices, and whereas increases in fuel taxes are passed on to consumers, affecting the price of most goods and services, thereby affecting the overall health and stability of our economy, now, therefore, be it resolved that the Sussex County Council hereby urges the Delaware Congressional Delegation to withdraw its support for the proposed 25-cent fuel tax increase, and be it further resolved that the county administrator shall send an official copy of this resolution upon its adoption to each member of the Delaware Congressional Delegation for their consideration.
I got one suggestion, maybe that we look at that last now therefore the second one from the bottom, and it says where we urge the Delaware Congressional Delegation to withdraw its support. Why don't we say for support for any proposed fuel tax increase? Because many times you'll see in Washington D.C. they didn't want 25%, we'll give them 20, and I don't think there's any sentiment for any fuel tax increase. Possibly. So that's just a suggestion that might send a message of, you know, what we really think. I don't know, Mr. Phillips is.
I think it's a good suggestion, and if that's a motion, I'll second it.
Yeah, I would make that then amendment to this draft.
Okay.
And because we do talk about the 25 cents, we don't like that, but we ought to just go on record and say withdraw any support for any proposal.
Any more comments from council?
That's enough.
Any thoughts? Okay.
So is that a motion, Mr. Cole?
Yes.
To adopt the resolution with the amendment?
With that amendment, yes.
That we delete the 25 cent and just any fuel tax increase?
I prefer that way.
Okay. We have a motion, have a second, Mr. Phillips. Any questions on the motion?
Is this for just the change or the entire resolution?
Entire resolution with the change.
Okay.
I will call for the vote. Ms. Dever?
Not voting.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
The next item is discussion of a casino moratorium ordinance. And as you recall, on May 18th, the County Council approved a six-month moratorium on applications for casinos or other gambling venues in unincorporated Sussex County. This six-month moratorium expired on November 18th. There are a number of possibilities. One, the moratorium could be extended with introduction of a new ordinance, we could consider providing various rules and regulations for casino applications, which could require a conditional use or change a zone, for instance, establishing a special zone for casino-type venues. So I believe I'll turn it over to Mr. Moore. Maybe Mr. Moore might have a comment or two on this.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Baker. As you indicated, at the time that this was moratorium was put into effect, we were looking at a possibility of drafting an ordinance or some kind of regulations of proposed casinos in Sussex County. At the time and currently, I believe, the only proposals that are out there involve areas that are in either municipalities or proposed to be annexed to municipalities. And at the current time, there's no state law in effect that would allow additional casinos to take place. However, the concern was that the county wanted to get ahead of the curve, have a moratorium so someone couldn't bring something up. As Mr. Baker indicated, there are several options. From the standpoint of having new ordinances in place, there's several ways that that can be done. Number one, we could have an actual new zone. We have looked at other jurisdictions that are larger jurisdictions in Nevada, for example, where oftentimes there's a whole new zone that would be created for that. We've also looked at the possibility of an ordinance for an actual conditional use, but we would need additional guidance from the council. Where would you want the conditional use? Would it apply to every district? Would it apply only in certain districts, for example, business districts or commercial districts? Would you also want some kind of exemption for charitable gambling that takes place now that is permitted by the Delaware Code? There is ways we could draft that and refer to the state law. One thing in looking at this, though, that came to light is, and Mr. Lank, correct me if I'm wrong, but there is really at this point in the county code for very large buildings, which we would anticipate any building for gambling, there's no ability by the county itself to actually regulate the footprint of buildings. Is that correct, Mr. Lank? And you know, I would suggest that maybe we also look at some kind of regulation to regulate the footprint of large big box buildings, whether it's part of this or possibly even regulation separate from this for not just casinos, but any type of big box, so that the county council would have the possibility of regulating those when they come before us. So if it is the council's desire to have some kind of ordinance placed in effect that would amend the zoning code, I believe that we would need, and when I use we, I mean Mr. Lank, myself,
Mr. Robertson some guidance in which way you want to go. We had put together an ordinance for conditional use, just a very rough draft, which would amend the and allow for conditional uses. But again, you know, we need to tweak this substantially to find out what areas would you want it in. Would you want it to, as I said, commercial, or would it be across the board? Someone could go into an AR1 district and have a conditional use or not. You know, that those are some of the things that we would need from council.
Well, that seems to be the trend, Everett, where we've seen them identifying vacant parcels of land and then getting them annexed or whatever to, at this point, they're annexing them.
Yes.
So I concur. I was actually making notes, and I put down here, we ought to put it in a special category similar to the big box ordinance, like a big box ordinance. And the reason is we got to keep it focused in on, because gambling is legal in the state of Delaware, but we ought to keep it focused on when the gambling and casino facilities incorporate these other activities, these other amenities, such as the horse racing, the entertainment, the hotels, the multi-use type facilities with water parks or whatever they're trying to do to attract people. What that indicates to me is it's they're going to have an impact on our infrastructure, roads and land use type issues, and that's where we got to keep our focus, is on the land use. So our ordinances need to really target the impact of these types of facilities, like the big box stores, at about the amount of sewer generation, water uses, on and on. So that's where this ordinance, I think, has to go. So,
okay,
that's my fault. So I think I agree with you, because they're going to need a big footprint, and when big footprints have different impacts than smaller imprints. So we all know that. So
maybe it's a suggestion also, apart from the gambling ordinance, quote unquote, that we also look at big box. Do we want the possibility of looking separately, so that as it comes up in other applications as well that have nothing to do with gambling, that there be ability of the council to address those as well?
I think they all kind of do complement one another. You know, I don't know how we can attack go after, say, a big footprint when it comes to casinos, but not a big footprint when it comes to.
Yeah, and
so
that's,
I think
that's
big footprint's
my point.
Big footprint, and big footprints can have a major impact on traffic, especially in some parts of this county. So I don't have any problem, though, to be honest with you, that if they identify an AR piece of ground, I don't know if we need to have to really put it into a commercial district, because that is a limited district. But I don't see anybody finding any land that would be already zoned commercial. So I don't mind it being in any district, except that they've got to go through this hearing process and establish and meet these certain criteria that we could establish through an ordinance. So I don't know. Anybody else got any ideas on that?
Schultz, any comments?
No, I think we're moving in the right direction.
Wilson, anything?
That's a lot of things, sir, but that probably, like he says, is take one step at a time. You're on this thing.
Well, we got to look at the land use. I said, the legislation of permitting gambling is on the books. It's legal in the state of Delaware. What we have to do is worry about the land use impacts of it. And, close to schools, close to churches, close to town centers. Maybe we don't want them close. Maybe we want them away because of the traffic they generate. I mean, there's different things we could look at in all this. And I think a conditional use is too unstructured, I say, because, you know, it's just kind of, it's like a crapshoot. I'd rather see an ordinance that hits boom, 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 and they got to meet that standard before they are considered.
So. Okay, Ms. Deaver, any comment?
No. I'd like to make sure that we didn't end up with something like was proposed by the inlet, because we got so many letters against that.
Sure.
And so we need to be very careful where we allow these things.
Mr. Lank, you have a comment?
Just for an add on, the ordinance under the conditional use section requires a racetrack, no matter what type it is, to go for conditional use. So if it's still oriented around racetracks or horse harness tracks, basically, then a conditional use method would help. would work. You just expand upon it, but you can take a conditional use, as a lot of them do. They have conditions that go with the conditional use. You have certain criteria you can add to it. It doesn't just say casino,
right?
And you go to public hearing. You can have casino and related activities, and then list those certain criteria: size, acreage, limitation on buildings, or whatever.
Okay. Right. Well, I think you're going to see in the future. I don't think the connection with horse racing is going to be the thing. They're going to break away, and then there'll be legislation allowing. Right now, it's tied to horse racing, but I see in the future, if the state's still in financial trouble, they'll do anything to, permit it, sure, somewhere. So what we've got to be concerned about is where they're located, and that's, I think we need an ordinance that deals with location, land use.
We're in a close. I say splitting hairs here, because I'm for property rights. But then again, do I want to build a liquor store next to the church? Do we want to allow that to happen? Although the property owner owns a piece of property next to the church. And do we, down here to this school, if we could hinder it, or I have right to one way or the other, do we want to give interference to these schools that spent millions and millions of dollars building that? And they're probably going to fit $50 million in the school. It's a new school. Do we want to create a problem for them to get kids in and out?
But
that's a big factor there.
In land use, there's always been issues dealing with compatible uses when you put one zone next to another zone, and there's got to be sometimes a transition period, area or something like this. And anyway, that's always been a critical thing. So locating next to certain types of facilities or putting them close together generate other issues. So yeah, that can all be added in, but we can only do it in the county. That was a city thing. So we still have this situation. So we got to deal with the county. We got to deal with land use. And I think coming up with an ordinance addressing size and location is the way to do it. And then maybe the amenities that maybe as they add these things to them, because when they get to these multi-use type facilities, we don't want them to fall into another category or something. Right.
Well, it would seem like what we're hearing here, consensus seems to be that we want to address it in some manner with either an ordinance or something to deal with big box and casinos, maybe two separate issues, but deal with those things. So I guess the question is, the current moratorium that we passed has expired.
Yes.
So I guess my question is...
Or is it about to expire or has expired?
It has expired. So I guess the question is... it would seem like what I'm hearing that we want to extend the moratorium to give us time to work on what we're going to work on.
We have to reestablish it. We can't extend it. It's already expired.
So how would we do that?
We would have to reintroduce an ordinance for a moratorium.
Okay.
And there would need to be the hearings just like we did before.
Right. So there's kind of an open period right now that people could make an application.
Except there's no state legislation allowing it at this point.
Right.
Okay.
All right. Council, Mr. Phillips.
Could I suggest that rather than putting a time frame in this new moratorium ordinance, we leave it open-ended so that we don't run into this six-month
deadline? I don't think it's hard to defend that, isn't it? That's what I've been
saying. The open-ended is only intended to give us the ability to allow this to stay in place until the state passes their legislation, because I think I'm hearing that we really aren't going to be able to create all the regulations until we know what's going to come down from the state. Is that your opinion, Mr. Moore, or not?
No, we can create the regulations in advance. And all of it is not reinventing the wheel, because there are some other examples out there. However, at this point, what I was addressing, no one could come down here at this point and get approval for something because there's no state legislation allowing expansion of the racetracks and gambling at this point. You can talk to different political leaders and get varying answers on the prognosis of whether or not that's going to happen or not. But again, it was the intent was to make sure, because when this was first passed, there was some concerns that maybe something would pass pretty quickly, and there was the ability. We wanted to make sure we could go ahead. Answering Mr. Phillips' question concerning the open ending, I would feel better if there was some kind of time limit. However, I think it would be prudent, because we did have in this ordinance that it could be extended, altered, modified.
Somebody forgot about it and
It could have been extended if it came up prior to November 18th. So maybe if we do 6 months, year, whatever, while we're working on this, and have, again, the language allowing it to be extended, and we just make sure that it's on the agenda prior to the time.
Right, okay.
Anything else from council? Then we want to...
I'll make a motion. We reintroduce the casino moratorium ordinance.
I'll second.
A motion and second to reintroduce that ordinance. Any questions on the motion?
And that ordinance would be an ordinance providing for a six-month moratorium on applications for casino and or gambling or gaming venues in Sussex County?
Yes, sir.
And it states in there that we can extend that as long as we do before it runs out, right?
You don't see any problem with the original wording, Mr. Moore, before we do adopt it again? I mean, you're comfortable with the way we addressed it last time?
The wording in Section 3 was this ordinance can be extended, modified, or terminated at any time by a majority vote of all members of the County Council of Sussex County, Delaware.
Okay.
So motion to reintroduce and a second. No more questions? Mrs. Deaver, call for the vote. Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Phillips?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.